We have a wonderful verse of scripture. And if I were you, I would use these Psalms as a way of meditating, as a way of thinking about the goodness of God and all that he's done for you. But in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, just want to focus on those verses for this morning. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Just want to share a brief thought with you today, the benefits of praise. The benefits of praise. Father, thank you again for blessing us to be here in this sanctuary. Thank you for this time of worship and meditation where we can draw near to you. You said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. We give you praise even in this time of pandemics, of confusion, of chaos. Lord, we lift our hearts and our minds to you and we offer you praise. Thank you for all that you've done. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. The benefits of praise. You know, there's a wonderful thing that we realize when we serve God. We don't serve a God who does not reward us. Everything we do, God rewards us. He rewards us in our giving. He rewards us as we live for him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And the wonderful thing about this is we offer God praise and we would say, well, the praise is to God, but again, God gives us benefits. He gives us these wonderful things that we can receive from him simply because we praise him. Now, let me also add that there's nothing you can do without God's strength and without God's guidance. His Holy Spirit is working in you. When you receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit becomes active in engaging you to become what God wants you to be, but also to do the things that God would have you to do. Can I get a witness to that? So God is guiding you. He's guiding you in your worship. In this Psalm 92, it is called a song of the Sabbath. It is either one that they would sing on their way to worship or one that they would sing while they were in worship. They wanted to express something from their heart, but in these verses, we also find that there are benefits. There are benefits. You often look at benefits with your health plan. You look at benefits from joining a certain organization. You look at benefits from your relationship with your bank or your financial institution, your credit union. You look at benefits as something that you get back. You participate, but you get something in return. And what I'm here to tell you today is that your praise does not just go one way. You get some return from God. And these verses tell us some wonderful things that we should do to engage this praise. There are a lot of times we're entering into a season now where people feel like, well, the choir should sing for you. No, no, no. The choir sings with you. Well, the preacher should preach to me. But you ought to bear witness on the inside that God is engaged in your life. It is a reminder of his goodness. It is a reminder of his awesome power that is at work in our lives. There are benefits to praise. But there are also some things that we don't understand about praise. There are some things that we just kind of draw some conclusion. I'm going to bring up two of those today so that we can focus on them because people have misunderstood what praise is all about. Let me just give you an example. There are people that use the expression, if we don't praise God, the rocks will praise him for us. That's not what the Bible says. I hate to burst your little bubble, but the Bible does not say the rocks will praise God for you. But let me just ask the question before I get into an explanation of what I just said. Has God done anything for you? And if God has done some things for you, he didn't do it for the rock. He did it for you. You ought to be able to say, Lord, thank you for doing this for me. Did God bring into salvation a rock, or did he bring you? Now, we know the Lord is God over all the earth. Amen. But Jesus didn't die on the cross to save rocks. He died on the cross to save your soul. He dug you up. He planted you in Christ so that you could be a new creature. If anybody else ought to praise God. Now, here's what Jesus meant. Here's what he said when he responded to those who were criticizing the people who were worshiping him. He was on his way into Jerusalem. You remember that. Jesus got a donkey and he was on his way riding into Jerusalem. He told his disciples, go get a young donkey that no one has sat on. And he rode him into Jerusalem. They were worshiping God. And some of the religious leaders got mad. And they said, stop your disciples from praising you. Because they were saying, this is our Messiah. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And they said, stop that. That's when Jesus said, if these stop praising me, then the rocks would cry out. Never assume that the rocks don't have a testimony. Because the same God that is over all the world, he's a God over the rocks. But then Jesus was getting into something deeper. The rocks were a witness. They were a testimony that God is an awesome God. All of those years, God made something called a rock. That no matter what happened in life, that rock is still here. It might get split apart, but it's still here. You look at the mountains, which are rocks. Amen. And the thing I like about it is that if God can keep the mountain, he ought to be able to keep me. Oh, do I have any witnesses in here? Don't assume that a rock is going to praise God for you. They can't because they don't know your story. They don't know the relationship that you have with God. They don't know how that you have been blessed by God. They can't. And you ought not to want a rock. Now, you can get one if you want to hold down your papers, but amen, you ought not to have a rock to hold down your praise. So there's a misunderstanding. We need to come to the Lord with a knowledge that God has done something. This verse says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, why is it a good thing? It's a good thing because you have this relationship, this marvelous relationship between you and God. He didn't give you everything you wanted, but he gave you everything you needed. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you still here? Now, if you're still here, you're not here by accident. You're here because the Lord kept you. Thank God for that. People have misunderstandings about praise. They assume that somebody else is going to praise God for them, but that's something that you should do. But there's another thing that we misunderstand about praise, and that is people will use the expression when the praises go up, the blessing come down. I went through the Bible. I couldn't find that anywhere. What we ought to do is turn the statement around. When the blessings come down, the praises go up. You don't have to tell God or remind God to bless you. He knows your address and he knows your name. He has numbered the hairs on your head. You must never assume that there's a quid pro quo relationship between God. God loved you before you were created. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't wait for the world to respond to him. He gave first. And that's what we're talking about when we say we love God. Never assume that praise is going to go up and then somehow or another you're going to manipulate and be able to get the blessings to come down. If you realize that God is a good God, the blessings have already come down. Early this morning, God allowed me to enjoy his blessings. I could have died in my sleep, but thank God I'm still here. I'm still here in Jesus' name. We have these assumptions that we base our faith on. And so what people do when the blessings don't come down their way, they stop praising God. But you know what I do and what you have done many times? Even though you may not be receiving what you think you ought to have today, you can look back and see where the Lord brought you from. And you can start saying to yourself, he brought me from a mighty long way. You ought to remind yourself to rejoice and to celebrate the wonderful things that God has done in your life, because he's an awesome God. So the psalmist says, now on your way to worship, or while you're in worship, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. Don't misunderstand it. Other people cannot praise God for you. They can praise God with you, and they can give him thanks, but that is your task. Well, people say, wait a minute, Pastor, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We are in the middle of a mess. We are in the middle of chaos in our land. You mean we should praise God? Many of these psalms were actually written by people who were in the middle of a trial. And they found out, well, you know, I can either get an attitude, I can go around with my lips stuck out, I can go around feeling that I've been abused, or I could look at the mercy of God. They chose to change their focus. They chose to, rather than looking at the situation, they looked a little bit higher. Let me tell you what Jesus did when he was in the middle of his trial. He looked beyond the suffering and the shame that he had to go through, and he looked to the end where he would be seated at the right hand of his Father. He didn't look at the trouble and trials. Now, he knew it was there, but he kept on going. When you praise God, it is something, a connection within you that says, I'm going to keep on going. My problem does not stop God from being a good God. My situation does not halt the mercy of God. Guess what? His mercy was new every morning. And you've got to realize that. There are people that are going to go through this Thanksgiving season. And you, man, by the way, you ought not wait till November to thank God. Every day you ought to thank him. Every day. But there are people that are going to go through this season getting depressed. Yeah, it gets on your nerve. Yeah, you feel like that. Man, I don't know how much more I can take of this. But I tell you what, if you start praising God, you'll start coming up for air. You know what a swimmer does when they go through that? They realize that they can't stay under that situation forever. They got to come up for air. When you start praising God, you come up to breathe. You breathe heaven's atmosphere rather than the atmosphere of this world. I know I'm getting deep. I know I'm getting deep. Y'all looking at me cross-eyed. You're looking at me crooked. But what I'm telling you is that praise causes you to rise above what you're going through. That's really the point. I could give the benediction right there. Praise causes you to rise above what you're going through and let you realize you ain't going to go through this forever. Trouble don't last always. And that's what praise says. Praise says, yeah, I got to deal with it, but I got somebody else beside me. Can I tell you what Grandma said? He walked with me. He talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. I'm pressing on. I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. Don't get your praise under situation. Get your praise above that. It's an attitude that you got to have within yourself that God is in control. So let me just give you some things that we realize. First of all, as we've discussed right now, as we've gotten to the point right now, when you start praising God, number one, you recognize God. That's a benefit. That's a benefit. The Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Well, how are you going to acknowledge him? But when you start saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending that blessing. Lord, thank you for helping me to not be in an accident this week. Lord, and even if I was, thank you for bringing me through it. Thank you for talking with me when I was about to go crazy. Oh, I'm sorry, maybe I stepped over in some territory. Y'all don't lose it sometimes. Thank you, Lord, for stepping in. This is the right time so I didn't say the wrong. Come on, somebody. When you start recognizing that he is God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not someone that shows up in your life on Sunday morning when you get ready to give a loud shout. The Holy Spirit is there when you're going through some of that mess in your life or dealing with folk that really, amen, somehow or another they've lost it and they want you to lose it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Folk that, amen, no matter what day of the week you wake them up, they still a fool. Lord, have mercy. Well, let me go on and preach up in here. Amen. And when you want to get a fool like them, the Holy Spirit tells you, no, hold your peace. And you say, Lord, Lord, help me. But the Lord leads you, he guides you, and he directs you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about when God gives you that praise. When God, now think about the opposite thing. What would you do if you weren't praising God? You'd be talking just like the rest of the world. All messed up. I know. I can't prove it. I can't point to a date and time, but I know that this pandemic, number one, is going to end. But I also know that one day, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and he's going to rapture his church. I can't tell you the date, can't even tell you the year, but I know it. I know it. I know it because he said he was going to do it. He said, if I go away, well, he had to go somewhere, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't lose it over the stuff that's going on in the world. You start giving God praise and you'll keep your right mind. You'll be able to move on with your life. Despite the tears and despite the heartache that you face, you'll be able to move on. So the first benefit is to recognize the presence of God. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto him. It is a good thing because God is good and his mercy is everlasting. But not only is it good to give thanks and to recognize that he's God, but to also rejoice in God's goodness. Now here the psalmist is inviting you to sing. It says, and sing. Now I know some of y'all can't sing. Amen. But amen, when you make it melody in your heart, what sounds off key to somebody else is in tune with God. Do I have any witnesses here? Even when Reverend Givens sang, the angel said, sing, son. We give thanks. We're able to rejoice in God's goodness. He says, and to sing praises unto your name. We know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are blessed. Is there a song in your heart, or what is it that keeps replaying in your mind? Are you still replaying that last mistake, that last sin, or that last broken heart? Let me tell you something. You need to change tunes here. You need to change tunes and bring in the voice of praise into your spirit. Let me tell you what the devil will do in order to get you really down. You made it through a struggle, all right? And you came out on top, right? Yes, yes, Lord, thank you for bringing that through me. But the devil made a tape. He made a recording of that situation. So day after day, now he wants to hound you. Something from the past is keeping you from your future. But when you start praising God, it breaks that recording. It disrupts it. It causes it to be ruined and no longer to keep flooding your mind. Don't allow the past, what's behind you, don't allow that to keep you from where you're going. Do you not know that you're on your way to heaven? And you're going to let earth stuff that's in the past keep you from getting there. I'm going to praise him all the way. And my grandma again said, I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the evening. I'm going to praise him until the sun goes down. I'm going to keep on praising him. And you should do the same because there are benefits. There are tremendous benefits to your praise. Let me move on. There's a praise of recognizing that he is God. There's a praise that we have in rejoicing because of his goodness. But did you not know that praise also gives us the reassurance of God's presence? You know one thing that Jesus said before he left this earth? I will never leave you alone. Lo, I'm with you, what? Always. Now, always means exactly just that. God will not abandon you. He will not take his eye off of you one second. His eye is on the sparrow. We sing that song, but do we know the meaning behind it? That verse was actually taken from Matthew chapter, let me get my notes here, from Matthew chapter 18, I believe it is, where Jesus was saying, Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. That verse was actually taken there. He says, not a sparrow can fall from heaven without your Father knowing it. The writer of the hymn, Sevilla Martin and her husband, they were from Nova Scotia, and they were evangelists. They traveled the country. And what she would do, every time he would preach a sermon, she would write something, write a poem or some encouragement. And in writing that poem, an encouragement to someone who had fell ill and that he'd visit with them, a bedridden friend, she compiled this song, and hear the words. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me. There are some times where life will try to put you in shackles. It will try to bind you. But if you can say, I sing because I'm happy, that's a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You can either be sad or you can be happy. But you cannot be happy just out of a figment of your imagination. Your happiness, your joy can only come from one source, and that one source is God Almighty. Lift up your heads and rejoice in Him, because our God is an awesome God. Yes, His eye is on the sparrow. Yes, He's watching over us. The story was told of a man that conducted a funeral service. And as he got there, there was no crowd. It was only him and the grave digger. He said, oh, what a lonely situation this is. Oh, what a terrible circumstance that this person had no one. But then the Holy Spirit brought back to his mind this very verse in Matthew 10, 29 and 31. Not a sparrow can fall from heaven without your Father knowing it. You've got to believe that God's presence is with you. And guess what? The Bible says if God's presence is with you, He inhabits. Did you hear what I say? He lives in the praises of His people. We acknowledge Him, but guess what? God becomes alive in you. He's not just a thought. He's not just something that you say. He's not a phrase, but God is real. As we would say here at Crossroad, God is good, and all the time, God is good. You've got to believe that. You've got to know that He's our awesome God. And so we have the rejoicing in the Lord. I often look at the expression of people's faces, and I said, you know, one good thing that churches need to have probably in their sanctuary that it would improve the praise, you need to have a big mirror up here so that you can look at yourself. That would improve the praise in God's house. Because if you could see sometimes the long faces and all of the sad looks, and sometimes people get upset because somebody upset them, but you are in the sanctuary of the living God. And rather than folding your hands, you ought to lift your hands and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to forget all about that, and I'm going to put my mind on you. When you think about the goodness of God and all that He's done, your soul will be lifted up. It's like a wave that comes in. And when that wave comes in, it lifts up everything. All of a sudden, the problem is not as bad as it used to be. That problem now, you say to yourself, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to believe. How many of y'all said that last week? Stuff going sideways, twisted and all that. Folks talking and saying everything. But then you said, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to put this in your hand. I'm just going to give you praise. You were giving God praise. You were giving God praise and thanks for the many things that He has done. So we have the reassurance of God's presence. The reassurance that tomorrow morning when you wake up, if you're not in heaven, you're still going to be in the presence of the Lord, because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I like being around my wife, but I don't like to be around her all the time. I hope she ain't listening, because I know I'm in trouble now. But God is saying, I'm going to be with you. I will be with you, and I will be your awesome and almighty God. Then we also have the not only reassurance, but we rejoice in Him to have a joyful attitude. Did you not know that your joyful attitude impacts everybody else? It was in one of my readings this week where I was reading about a lady that had been taken captive by some people that wanted to do her harm. And as she was taken captive, somehow it was impressed upon her heart to start singing. And as she started singing, the captors decided either they're going to keep her or kill her, but they couldn't stop her praise. Are y'all listening to me? Finally, they released and said, you know what? You can go because we can't deal with this praise. We cannot deal with you praising God. The story was said, and this was actually in Atlanta, where a little boy had been taken captive. And they decided they were going to hold him hostage and keep that little boy. But then he started singing a little bit of Hezekiah Walker. Every praise is to our God. And every word of worship is one accord. They told the boy, shut up. But rather than shut up, he kept singing. And I'm here to tell you, the devil will tell you, shut up, but he just keep on singing. And they had to release him because he had a praise on the inside. When you get shackled by life, get that praise. Bring up your praise. Bring up your praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. They said, we're going to let this boy go, or either we're going to go crazy. Every praise is to our God. I close finally by telling you, not only do we have the reassurance of God's presence and we rejoice in the Lord with song, and we also recognize that God is our good God, but we also rest in the Lord. To rest in the Lord. Some of you all, you have a bed to sleep in, but you can't sleep. Restlessness. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Basically, when you praise God, you're telling him, Lord, you got this. You got this. I'm going to sleep. You got this. Notice the verse says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Now, I want to get into some grammatical stuff right here, because at first he says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, but then he starts getting to the personal pronoun where he says your loving kindness. Thank God for Miss Wilma that told me about pronouns. When you start saying give thanks to the Lord, you're speaking of him in the third person. But when you use the personal pronoun your, it's now first person. Any school teachers can help me out because I done got in deep water now. But you're talking to God. You're not just talking about God. Don't assume that your praise is for other people. You are addressing the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, not just a shepherd. And then as he gets into the psalm, he talks about he walks with me. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because you're now talking to God. So he says in this verse, your loving kindness in the morning. Now, why do I need God in the morning? You can't handle your day. You cannot handle the stuff that's out there. You're in strange territory. But when you got God to go with you, you will be able to conquer everything because he's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Can I get a witness up in here? You got to recognize that the Lord is with you. But then he says, your faithfulness every night. You know what you will do if you don't praise God? You're going to bring your problem right back home with you. You got through it, but you still got some of it on you. Y'all mighty quiet up here. Yeah, y'all mighty quiet. You still feel like you're still going through that same problem. You lay down. Now that problem begins to just ruminate. It begins to just go through your mind. And you up here making plans. Well, tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do? And I'm gonna do all that. You ought to stop all that mess. Ruining half your night. Can't get to sleep. Now it's 4 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up and get ready to go to work. And you still got the same issue. If you start praising God, you bury those problems. You don't pray, Lord, give me yesterday. You pray, Lord, give us today. Rest at night. A lot of people going through this pandemic, they're exhausted. They're drained emotionally. And I'm here to tell you, if you're suffering from that, if you're online and you're suffering from that, start praising God. Start thanking Him. Start worshiping Him. So, say, Lord, you know, yeah, the problem's still here, but it's not in me. When I give you praise, I free myself from that. Let me tell you the prayer that they would often pray as Jewish children. And we kind of picked it up. It doesn't say the same thing, but it's in these basic words. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. Did you not know that Jesus said that on the cross? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. When you start praying that and praising God in that way, now that problem is done. You wake up refreshed, renewed, energetic. Maybe you're still dealing with issues, but at least you won't be tired and drained because the Lord has given you rest. You know, the Bible says that He gives His beloved rest. And I'm getting ready to close with this. I was also reading in the Daily Bread about some things that had happened to a missionary. This missionary was traveling in a foreign country, and somehow as she entered that country, it was in the Daily Bread this week, somehow she entered that country, they wanted to detain her and wondered what kind of information did she carry. And of course, they were carrying the Bible. They were carrying the Word of God. Your greatest source of praise is this book right here. Because sometimes you can't come up with the words, but guess what? This book has already come up with them for you. This book has already said things about God that if you just repeat them, it becomes even more real in your life. Do I have a witness here? And this interpreter, they took her captive, but then they had to let her go. They had to let her go because she had the Word of God. And the Word of God sets you free. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. You're free today. How do you express that freedom? You express it through your praise. You express it by saying, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. As we come to the close of this service, you got a choice right now. You got a choice. You really do. You can keep the anxiety. You can keep the confusion swirling around in your mind. You can keep a lot of the things that have brought you down, or you can take this one prescription. It's called praise. You can start enjoying its benefits, not changing the world, but changing you and how you look at it. Because when you praise God, you're saying, God, you're in control. Take charge of everything, and especially my life. But then if you don't have praise, but you have worry, you have conflict going on in your mind, you're giving in to the very things that will destroy you. Let the Savior be God and give Him praise. Give Him honor and give Him glory. Father, we thank you that we can have rest. Thank you that we're in a place called a sanctuary, a place of peace. And Lord, you said, my peace I leave with you. Yeah. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. As an indication that we're not letting our heart be troubled, we're giving you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for the benefits of praise. Thank you, Lord, for being able to just bathe in the sunshine of your grace right now, that you're smiling on us, that you're loving us. Even though at many times we've been unlovable, you've shown your love to us. Thank you, Father, for just being God. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe no one has said this to you this week, but I want to sing it to you. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. That's our praise today. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Sing it with me. Let it be your praise. God has smiled on me. Everyone stand. Everyone stand. He has set me free. I know that God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with His love. The praises that I implore, He sends it down from above. Oh, God has God. Oh, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. Let the praises ring. Come on, man, y'all join him singing now. God has. God has smiled. He's been good. He's been good. Come on, point to yourself. He's been good. Been so good. Been so good. Been so good. Oh, He's been good. He's been good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, dear God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Before we close, we do want to give the invitation. I know that some of you are joining us by online and in the parking lot, but getting to Jesus and getting to know Jesus is not about where you are. It's about the place and the attitude of your heart. If you would just humble yourself and cry out, Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. He will save you and He will deliver you. We give the invitation for those of you that are in here. You can come forth or you can just acknowledge in your heart, Lord, I need you as my Savior, and God will save you. He'll do just that. He'll be your Lord and your God. Receive Him. Be blessed by Him. In Jesus' name, amen.